Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. My guest today is a gracious and empathetic leader in the Kansas City area who's empowering female leaders in wisdom. Samantha Compton is the president and senior financial advisor at Insight Wealth. She's passionate about equipping women to take control of their long-term financial futures with a non-judgmental approach. Today, you'll hear how a small act of human kindness impacted her future and her community, and how she's making sure that human kindness is at work through her. Welcome to the podcast, Samantha Compton.
Gosh, Jennifer, thank you. What a gracious intro.
A gracious intro for a gracious person.
Thank you. Yes. And I love this podcast. I love what you're doing with it. I love your heart for encouraging people and truly embodying your brand, which is human kindness. I think it's absolutely beautiful. And you are a beautiful picture of that.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate
you're
that.
Welcome.
Well, we're going to jump right in so that people can listen wherever they are and hear a small part of your story that actually had a big impact on where you are now and what you're doing. So your background and your current job are in financial planning. But let's jump into your story when one connection started a string of changes in your life. Can you tell us about that connection?
Yeah, definitely. So I was in a pretty desperate season of my life, and this was about 8 years ago. And I was in a season of transition. So I had remarried. I had moved to a new part of the city that I'd never been in before. And I was 45, and I thought, I'm starting over, and I don't have any friends. Mm-hmm. And women at 45 are too... They're involved with their friends already. They already have all their friends. And who am I going to find? And I was really longing for community. I tell a funny story about how I was laying in bed one night and I was doing that cry that is hard to hide because you're kind of shaking. And I didn't want my husband to know, but I was sobbing.
Oh.
And pretty soon I felt this little hand just pat, pat, pat. I thought, you know, he really doesn't know what to say, but he just wants me to know I'm here. And it was just a desperate season. And then I had a child who was in, he was in that transition from, being in school to launching into adulthood. And he was struggling and I was sad. And I thought, gosh, I wish I had some friends that I could talk to about this, some other moms that really could encourage me. And so out of this desperation, I had seen a women's event at a church in the new area that I was. It was a women's event, and it was going to be women from various generations who were going to share a little bit of their stories. And I thought, okay, I'm scared to death. Like, I don't know anybody, but right now, this is what I need. So I went and sat at a table and listened to these women. There was one in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, and in their 70s. And they were all sharing different seasons of their life. And one of the women who shared, she started talking about the struggles that her son had in his young adulthood. And as she was telling these stories and the things about this journey that he went through and she went through with him, I began to cry. And it was not one of those like pretty cries. It was the ugly cry because of the desperation of my heart. And I thought, here I am in a room of women. I don't know anybody here. And I look just pitiful and sad. And it was embarrassing because I was so ugly crying. And afterwards, I just remember thinking, I need to go meet this woman. Like somehow she's got like a key to something and I just have to talk with her. And so I went up, and as I went up to the stage afterwards, I saw all of these women around her. And clearly, she had a whole community of women who knew and loved her. And I thought, I mean, if she'll just talk to me for a minute, I felt like that would help. And so she turned around, and she saw me, and I was still crying. I just thought, oh, well, it is what it is. And she said, she talked to me, I kind of told her where I was, and she said, give me your number, and I'll reach out to you, and we can have coffee. And I thought, Wow. She's not going to do that. But she did. Mm. And she reached out to me and invited me to coffee. And we sat for like 2 hours. And as I poured my heart out to her, she poured her heart out to me. And I thought that was amazing. But I'm sure she has a full life. And she said, let's get together again. Wow. And so we got together again and again. And eventually she said, you know, we became friends. And she even said to me, hey, I know somebody who does what you do, and they do it in our community, and which led to a new career path or a new career opportunity for me. And just all kinds of things launched from there that we can continue to talk about. But
wow,
she saw me and she reached out to me, and it's changed so many things in my life.
Wow. So just that one act of human kindness, just yes. following up that one time, and actually not just saying, let's have coffee, but actually doing it.
Yes.
And then extending an invitation again. I think everybody has probably been in a place of loneliness. You know, when you were talking about being 45 and looking around and seeing everybody has their friend group already, it's kind of like being a teenager or a kid when you move to a new school. It feels very much like that. I've been in that situation. And I think most people have. They can identify with that loneliness that can be really deep. Okay, yeah. So this woman extended that invitation to you. And she, in that invitation, not just helped you find a new job, but she invited you to start something new, or encouraged you to start something new. Can you tell us what that was? Yeah,
yes, you did. So I had been in the financial services industry at that point, gosh, it would have been, I think, 5 years and or 4.5 years, I guess, at the time. And so when the new opportunity that I talked about happened, I was able to move firms. So I moved from the firm that I had been at to one that was local to the area where I live. And along my financial services journey, what I had found were a lot of women who felt intimidated by the topic of long-term finances. So talking about investments and talking about all the things that are involved with that kind of thing, whether women were married or divorced or widowed or just had been remained single, I found that they didn't know what questions to ask. And so generally, we as women, when we don't want to look stupid, we don't want to expose our ignorance. And so, I for one don't like to sign up to feel stupid.
Yeah.
So I could very much relate to that because I had been a single mom and I had not understood long-term financial things. So I understood what it felt like. And so I just had this like secret desire. I thought, what if there was a place where women could come together and they could learn about topics that were intimidating, like long-term financial topics or estate planning and long-term care, just the things that we want to know more about, but we're not quite sure what questions to ask. And so I had this desire. And so in this move to this new firm, there was definitely an openness to doing something like that. And so I had shared it with this friend. And so when I shared it with this friend, she said, I would love something like that. And I know a lot of people that I think would like something like that. She said, when are you going to do it? And I was like, in my mind, it was kind of like, when I figure out all the things, which, when do we figure out all the things?
Never.
Never. So she said, no, I'm serious. Like, what date? What is your day? Hmm. And she just sat there in silence, waiting for me to answer her. So we pulled out the calendar and I said, okay, I'm starting it on this day. And she said, oh, well, guess what? Because remember, I knew nobody in the community. I mean, I might have known maybe 2 or 3 people at that point, but not enough to invite to something. And she said, here's a whole list of people that I really feel like you should reach out to.
Wow.
And first of all, share your idea and get their input and then invite them. And so I was like, what do I have to lose? So I just started calling them and setting coffee dates with these women and just sharing what I wanted to do. And they were like, oh, yeah, I'd come to that. I'd come to that. And so the list, the guest list for that first time we met was nobody that I knew except her, the power of one connection, right? So her and then everybody else were people that she knew that came. And the first month that we met, I think we had 17 people there. We just met in the back room of a restaurant. And then I had planned a couple of months in advance, like some topics and things we'd meet over, but I didn't know if anybody would come. So to have 17 women there, and then within 6 months, we had actually maxed out the space. And we had a waiting list, I think from month number three, we had a waiting list. So I would have to let people know if other people dropped off to allow them to attend. And that was the start of something truly amazing that I didn't know was going to be amazing. But again, it was because of this woman who befriended me, challenged me, believed with me, dreamed with me, and then took action with me towards something that has become an encouragement to so many women.
Yeah. And that group is still going. And that group is much bigger than 17 women. Can you talk a little bit about Wise Women and what it is, a little bit more about the mission and what it looks like today?
Yeah. So Wise Women, yes, we've been around since 2017. So we are going to be celebrating 8 years in August that we've been meeting together. We have two locations, two different areas that we meet in the city on two different dates each month. And each month we probably have between the two groups, between 120 and 150 women that faithfully attend. Not every woman can come every month, but that's how much we're running every single month. And it just blows my mind that that's happened. Yeah. We don't want to talk about finances every month, and we don't want to talk about estate planning every month. So basically what this group ended up becoming is just a place for female leaders to come together and to grow. And to do it in a space that allows people to just come as they are, to be real and authentic. There's never any pressure to talk to anyone else if you don't want to, or you don't have to network. But what we found is that when women feel safe and feel seen and really enjoy the other women and feel like they're authentic, then connection happens. Mm-hmm. That's just a byproduct of that kind of environment. And then they want to do business together. And they enjoy being sharpened and growing together. And so, you know, when you start with the right environment, I think that it just promotes the other things that happen. And when I talk about the power of one connection, you know, you were there at this last anniversary that we had. And in fact, you told your story, which was really powerful. But I looked at that room and all of those women that were there. It was probably 130 women in the room altogether that in that one location. And I said to them, you know, you are here because somebody took the time to notice my pain and my desperation. And she took the time to reach out and extend herself.
Yeah.
And that's the power of one connection, and that's the power of noticing others. So when you show up in a room and you're not just looking for what you need, but you're looking for what somebody else might need.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's so key. And you cannot ever know the difference that you can make in one person's life by just being there in that moment with them. Because you never know where that can lead.
Yeah.
And I think we feel like maybe it has to be something grand, a grand gesture or a grand event or a large scale something or other. But really, it's just, it could be at the grocery store, or it could be at church, or it could be wherever, at your school with your kids, and just noticing somebody and talking with them and being open to what God is doing. Mm. It can lead all kinds of wonderful places.
One thing I have noticed about Wise Women being a part of this group is the constant extension of the circle. So, and now that you tell your story, it's like, I see why Wise Women is like that, because that's how the circle was widened for you.
Yeah.
With this first woman who invited you in, and then it invited you in with all of her friends. I mean, that often women get a reputation of being catty and exclusive, you know, these are my friends. And especially when we start talking about business, you know, I don't want to give you my leads or let you into my territory. But Wise Women has such a different feel. And I love that openness, the inclusion. It's just like everybody's welcome. And that circle of friendship is just getting wider and wider and wider. I think that for me is a takeaway that I want to implement in my life in general, because when we act like that with each other, and whether that's a total stranger or someone in our circles, when we have that purposeful extension of widening that circle, that it's not just showing love and kindness, but it really can change somebody's life like yours. You know, that connection turned into a job and turned into forming this group that is now influencing hundreds of women who are influencing their communities. It's just this ripple effect that can go on forever.
It's
I think that's really beautiful.
So true. It reminds me too, not to think too small and also not to think scarcity, meaning I don't have to protect what's mine. Yes. I don't have to constantly be grasping, because that's scarcity thinking. Like there's plenty of friendship. There's plenty of business. There's plenty of room. And the more we keep our arms open and our hearts open and our minds open to other people, there's no boundaries.
Yep. I love that. What a way to live, you know, so much freer. At what point did you realize that Wise Women was bigger than just you, or just that first 17 people? At what point did you realize, like, wow, this is not what I intended or what I could even have dreamt of?
I think really quickly, like within the first couple of months, because I hadn't planned for a part-time job in addition to my full-time career.
Sure.
And it was a lot of work, but at the same time, it's been so rewarding. It quickly became a realization of that it's bigger than what I had thought, which was also a really huge challenge.
I bet.
Because it was like, how can I then steward this with what it deserves? And how can I continue? And I think it all came back to the same thing that it was started by. It's really not me, and it's not my own strengths or my own abilities or even my own ability to imagine. It's just being open to what God has and then trusting Him that He's going to provide the resources. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like a sit and coast, like you don't have to work kind of thing, but it's diligence and trust at the same time. So, you know, the stewarding is the diligence of like He's giving this or He's bringing these people, and not looking at it like they're mine or this is my, you know, it's like, oh, how can we be faithful with this? How can we be faithful with a little, so that if God wants it to be much, it will be what He wants it to be? So if that's answering the question, it was really clear really quickly, which could have been a reason to stop doing it, to be honest, because it was a little intimidating. But God has been so faithful through this whole journey, and all the women that have been involved. It's not just me. There are so many women involved with Wise Women, and they have been willing to bring their talents and gifts and abilities. I mean, we just had a meeting this last week with the ambassadors, who there's a whole team of women that want, their whole desire is to make other women feel welcome. And they asked the leaders of this group, which I did not lead this, the leaders of that group asked every woman, tell me about a time when you felt welcomed outside of Wise Women. And they all told stories, that significant stories in their life of a moment when somebody welcomed them. And that is what propels them forward, is they want to create that. And that's amazing. I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't have dreamed that up. But the women who came into the room, it's the wisdom of the women in the room.
Yeah.
That's what we like to describe Wise Women as, is a collection of women who come together with their own wisdom, with their own strengths, and they're not holding on to it to carry it for themselves, but they're willing to release it and be able to use it for others.
That's beautiful. I mean, we all benefit when we're all generous.
Yeah.
You know, it changes everything. Samantha, what would you say to listeners who might be in the same place as you were when you first met that one connection, that place you're in your bed sobbing, trying not to wake your husband up, in that place of loneliness? Maybe listeners feel like they don't have purpose, or they don't have community, or they're starting over in life. It's a new season. What would you say to them?
I would say, have the courage to hope that there is something good ahead. Because if you have the courage to hope, it will give you the courage to step out. Almost every woman that I have talked to who made a new connection or who experienced something different than what they thought was possible or expanded their circle in some way, every single one of them had to display an initial act of courage to be able to experience that. And I think that that takes hope that there's something beyond where they are enough that they're willing to take that act of courage or take that step forward towards something. And just taking an action step towards something will often lead to the next thing, which leads to the next thing, which leads to the next thing. But I think when we stay stuck is where we lose hope and we're not thinking that maybe things could be different. So I would just encourage you that things can be different. You can hope.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, Samantha, thank you for being with us. I love who you are. And I love the very generous and gracious ways that you live and love other women and invite them into a better life, greater purpose. And I'm just grateful for the ways that you're investing into my life as well. In the same way that someone connected with you, you're reaching out to people like me and other wise women and just offering a space to grow. So thank you for really making a difference in your circle of influence. I think that your story is a really good example of the ripple effect of human kindness at work. We can't ever know the full picture, how far that ripple goes. But it's really neat in your case to see a few of those rings. We see a few of those ripples. And that's really beautiful. I hope that listeners are inspired to recognize the power of one connection that can change someone's life. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me here. It's been such a delight. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. It's a great way to help others discover the podcast and be inspired to make a difference right where they are. Until next time, keep an eye out for human kindness at work in your world. Whether it's big or small, it all matters. See you next time.